Welcome to 2 Minute Warning on the Hardball Gets AFL podcast feed. This is the first edition of the 2 Minute Warning, and you're probably wondering what the hell a 2 Minute Warning is. We'll explain in just a second, but firstly, let me introduce my co-host today, Nick Rinn from the West.
G'day, Rhino. Good to be here.
And Xavier Ellis, former West Coast Eagles and Hawthorn champion, and now media mogul.
You don't have to say champion or media mogul, mate. Fat bugger that loves a beer, that'll do.
Look, we're brought to you by the Mazda BT50, which, Nick, as you know now, of course.
The Boss Adventure Pack.
The Boss Adventure Pack. Well, it doesn't come with it. You gotta ask for it. And if you want it, you'll be a boss. The Boss Adventure Pack from the Mazda BT50. So now we can get straight into it. What it is this show is about 2 minutes on each club. We're going to bring up one topic per club. We're not going to muck around and talk about the same thing for an hour like a lot of podcasts do. We're going to give you 2 hard minutes. We're going to go as fast and as hard as we can. And then we're going to move straight on. Everyone's got 6 clubs each. We've come up with a topic. We don't even know what each other's topics are, and we're just going to hit it.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to have to try and time it and do a siren and everything, so bear with me. Here we go. Two minutes up, Adelaide.
Bang. The Adelaide Crows. I've got the Adelaide Crows. Is Wayne Miller the second coming of Andrew McLeod?
I'm going to call it a no.
I'm going to jump on that bandwagon too, and I'll say no. I'd agree that he probably has the flashes of an Andrew McLeod, but you're talking about one of the champions of the game.
He's a left footer, isn't he? He's got that big booming left foot off a halfback
line. Yeah, and he collects the ball well. He's a beautiful user of the ball. They used him off halfback. I reckon he's going to move into the wing. Look, that's a big call.
It's
very hard at this point of your career to say any player is going to be an All-Australian, a multiple All-Australian, a Norm Smith medalist, the career that Andrew McLeod had. But all I'm saying is that watching Miller play is that there are just enough examples to say that this kid is going to be very, very special. And if the Crows are going to be any good, I reckon he has to have a huge season.
I definitely agree with that. I reckon Adelaide Crows are very slow. The two Crouch boys, Sloan's not quick. Miller is someone who has got electric speed, but I don't know whether his 15 disposals a game is going to be enough to make a huge difference.
Well, it was a guy like Charlie Cameron was the guy who gave him the speed back when they were good, when they made their grand final two years ago. Seems like a lot longer. Mm. So he fits there. Very good player. But, I think that Andrew McLeod has thrown the spanner. If you're like an Andrew McLeod minus 25%, you'd be like, he can get
there. Hey, I reckon they'd take seven-tenths of Andrew McLeod over the course of their career.
I'll give you Stiffy John Cock. I'll give you a Graham Johncock, maybe.
But you're right, they did look phenomenal when Cameron was up and
Charlie
about.
Yeah, Cameron, he's starting off the back of the square and then taking on the wing going forward. Like, they need that player. Miller can be that, probably.
Okay, here's the thing. I'll make one more statement. If Wayne Miller can make the 40-man All-Australian squad, which is a long shot.
Talking about this year?
Yep. Then Adelaide will be a top-four side. There you go. There you go.
I still think Adelaide last year, like, that was crazy. I would expect them to finish in the top 4. Just based on, I haven't really looked into the other teams around the mark, but I think that they're that good.
There is a lot of talk about Adelaide. I agree. I think they're definitely going to be.
And that's 2 minutes, boys. So next on, we are going to, let me just reset this one.
Brisbane Lions.
Brisbane Lions. So that's me, and I'm going to say Jared Berry will be the best of their young mids.
I agree.
McCluggage
is the next one. Like, McCluggage is around the mark. Don't agree too early.
I don't need 2 minutes. Move on. Let's go to Carlton.
I reckon McCluggage is good, but I think Berry, like, they put him in a more defensive role last year. So he was basically, they wanted him to be a run-with player and learn the game off the better players in the game. And he still averaged about 18 touches. He picked up all of his stats. Like, he averaged about 6 tackles.
Okay. No, I think we all agree Berry's going to be great. But you're saying he's going to be better than Rayner?
Yes.
Oh.
Better than McLuggage?
Well, no, best for the young mid, so I count Rayner as a forward. I count Rayner as like a Toby Green.
But he'll eventually be a mid Rayner, right?
I still think he should be Brisbane's Toby Green.
Okay, but will he be better than Rayner?
I reckon it's going to be line ball.
So I'd say the Rayner's going to be a Dusty Martin.
He'll go into the middle and
have 25 to 30 and can go forward.
I still have my reservations about whether he'll get to that level of accumulation. But I love everything he does. But I think we spoke about it earlier in the week, just playing guys where they can have the most impact. And I think that'll be in that half forward role.
And you do think he'll be better than McLuggage?
Yes, I think Berry will be better than McLuggage. Like, these guys are all really good. So we're talking about narrow margins here, but I just like Berry's the well-roundedness of his game. So he was still averaging. He averaged, I think, 13 games last year. He had six tackles or more. Mm. And then there were games.
If you're tackling too much, though, what is the saying?
But he was getting 28 at the same time.
I'll pay that.
I love Jared. I reckon he's going to be a phenomenal player. And I think he might be right, but I think I'm going to classify Rayner as a future mid, and I think Rayner will be better. But I think Berry is exactly what Rayner needs. I think those two guys are going to complement each other. And then you throw McLuggage. They're three different players, and that's what's exciting. And then you throw in, you know, Witherden, and you throw in Harris Andrews down back and Hipwood at the...
They've got a lot of talent. And then whatever this kid that they picked up, he didn't look too stoked to be going to Brisbane at the end of last year.
Is that Eli Smith?
Eli Smith, and it's spelt weird as well, isn't it?
Eli, E-L-Y.
But you just hope they don't get bashed, those young kids. You hope that they can be really competitive and that your Neils...
All right, we went over by about 3 seconds there, Mooks.
Come on, timekeepers. Lose his job.
Next up, what do we got? Right, Carlton Blues.
Green shoots or not, 6 games or less, Brendan Bolton will be sacked.
Oh, I reckon. So he adjusted his deal last year, didn't he? He was on like a full-time employee of the club. And I think any time you go and revisit that agreement, you're going to be pretty worried. When the club comes to you and says, oh, we might take a look at that.
Yeah, I just think that they've been pretty poor for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And I personally don't see the green shoots. I mean, you can water as many green shoots as you want. And they've obviously got talent that pop up here and there and play really good games. But for mine, like Charlie Curnow, just looking at the photo there, superstar.
Yeah,
but absolutely. Is that enough? Is that enough to not have a 2-win season again?
No, it's not, because even at some point, it doesn't matter how young your team is. Mm. If you've been in charge long enough, you're the guy.
Well, like, how are they still young? It means you haven't been very good, and they've had to keep recycling.
But someone's going to get this list.
Yes,
and it's a lot to like on the list.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very green, as you say. But there's going to, if you're right, and we talked briefly before the pod that there's going to be a lot of coaches that jobs could be on the line this year, that means there's going to be a lot of coaches with AFL experience available.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And Brendan Bolton I played under, and I think he's a great coach and stuff, and it might just be bad luck that he's been given this list that just GWS influenced sometime. You know, when you take the guys that can't get a game at another club and fill them up at your club,
it's not a great recipe.
No. Yeah. And I think for a little bit of time there, they probably wasted 2 years. And now I reckon they're definitely on the right track. Their number one draft pick, Walsh, dominated from what you read.
Yeah, the practice in the interclub.
Take a bit of load off Mark Murphy, Dale Thomas, those sort of guys. But I'm just not certain that they're going to hit the mark very well this year.
See, it's sad for Mark Murphy, but it's almost at a point you said his name there. It's like, geez, I forgot about Mark Murphy. Like I understand the reasons behind him re-signing with the club, but at the same time you think, like, you poor bastard, why did you do that?
Yeah, it's he's probably thinking hopefully he can stay around for 3 years.
They've got the same guys as Brisbane have. We just rattled off the McLuggage, the Rainers, these types. They've got those great young players.
Yeah.
We haven't Jeez, you're just
Good
getting
into
it, it just moves you on. Okay. Here's my question about Collingwood. Can you tell me why they won't fall off a cliff?
Well, Dane Beams is arguably, I think, one of the best 5 midfielders in the competition.
Okay.
Treloar missed a portion of last year with the double hamstring I've never seen before in my life.
The old double hammy. And surprisingly, you didn't do one.
Yes, I know.
You would have been the odds on
double calf. I've done the double calf, but never the double hamstring. But I think also that midfield is going to be the best midfield in the competition by a fair way. You put Pendlebury in there. You put Brody Grundy in there. Tom Phillips is arguably one of the better wingmen in the competition. That midfield is going
side
to...
Side bottom.
Side...
Yeah,
it's very good.
Here's my counter argument. This is their back line, and specifically focus on the key defenders. Tyson Goldsack.
Yep.
Jeremy Howell, if you call him a key defender, he's sort of a mid defender. Tom Langdon.
Mm. I like Tom Langdon.
And potentially Darcy Moore, because you can't include Ben Reid because he's never fit.
Yep.
Schoenberg's out for the year, basically, and Lyndon Dunn's not going to be back for a long time. So they're their key position players. That, to me, screams that they're going to get exposed big time by anyone with power forwards or multiple power forwards that can do any damage. A team like the West Coast Eagles, for instance. Those teams,
Richmond taking with Darling. Yeah, not Darling.
Exactly. Lynch and Riewoldt going into those games. They're going to be severely undermanned. And yeah, their midfield is going to be better than just about every other midfield. But I worry about the back line, and I sort of worry about the forward line too.
Jamie Elliott was very good in the practice game. He's back, and he's arguably one of their A-graders, I suppose. We haven't really seen him for a long time, but he'll be back in there. And Darcy Moore, we spoke about, there's a lot of talk about Darcy Moore, whether he's a forward back or even a good footballer. We've seen glimpses, and I think he will be a good footballer. But
Is there a scenario where you can see Collingwood missing the eight?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
I'm going to put my balls on the line and say I reckon.
So you're going to say Collingwood are going to miss the eight?
No, I'm not saying they're going to, but I'm saying there's a scenario in which
well,
they
that's
do.
Not quite balls on the line then. That's like, yeah, that's balls on the fence.
Just one ball.
Yeah.
Just the left ball is on the line.
You're just resting on it.
And timing, well done.
Timing, beautiful.
We're on to Essendon. My Essendon take is they won't be as good as everyone thinks.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, agree.
So you look through their midfield and, like, that's, I think, what let them down last year.
Yeah.
Those guys didn't play at the level we know they can play at. But they also drop off really quickly, so you got to have a well-balanced midfield to win a flag. Like, if we've seen a lot of different techniques win flags over the last couple of years, but that's one of them that's been constant. You know, you got Merritt, Heppel and Scheel, which is a great three.
Yeah.
Then you get, like, Zaharakis and Parrish.
Does McGrath get in there?
They were still using a lot in the back line.
When you look at the way their 22 fields, he kind of has to still play back.
Yeah.
Like, I sort of sat down and did that last week, and I tried my hardest to get him in the midfield. I'm like, they just need him down there. They don't have anyone else to play that kind of role. So he's being robbed by, you know, his ability to stop players. He's probably going to have to play at least half the season or half a game down there, at least as a defensive mid-type player.
And you talk about coaches coming under pressure. Would this be the worst situation to go into as a coach? If you know, you think your list is all right, and you're like, oh, we might be okay, and then all of a sudden all the papers are coming out saying how you're going to play in a grand final and everything. You'd want to go out there and could we just pump the brakes a little bit, please?
Yeah, you definitely got to pump the brakes. And also, Joe Danaher returns. Yeah. Now, I don't reckon there is a more frustrating player. I remember when we first played when Buddy Franklin would shank the ball around a little bit.
Yeah.
The midfielders and the defenders do such big work, and Joe Danaher could be a superstar. But then when he shanks the ball around and kicks one goal, 5-1, there's nothing more deflating for a football team. So Joe Danaher, I think, is probably the key to Essendon. Well, if he can straighten up and kick, well, let's get to 60 or 50%, whatever it is, he can't be missing those ones from 30 out. It's just so deflating. And not, you know, in kicking the bananas from directly in front 30 out, he's just got to go back and kick it like he's paid.
We mentioned this, Ryan and I were speaking last week. So he actually ended with 61 goals the year before he got injured.
Now,
so
stunned
he's
by
capable
that.
Of
stunned.
It.
Oh, he's capable. Very, and unbelievable mark.
Yeah, and if you kick those, you can get up to, you know, 70, 80 goals, which is even better. Okay, who are we on to? Hey.
Fremantle Dockers.
Fremantle Hogan. Dockers. Jesse Hogan, the Prince of Perth or Poison? How did Fremantle land him? Is there something we don't know about, or is it just perfect situation? Melbourne need to move him on. He wanted to come back to Perth, and he is that great white hope he was originally forecasted to be at Melbourne Football Club.
He looked pretty good in the intra club last week, but it was really interesting because they used him predominantly as a midfielder.
Yeah.
And even to the point where, because of where we were sitting, and, you know, you're not watching it on TV, you're watching it with the eye. At first, I was like, who's wearing number 11 in the midfield? Like, because he was undersized, if anything. I was stunned about how small
he
was.
Yeah, he looks like he slimmed down a little
bit. Yeah, and because he looks slimmer and he's in a different jumper, he kind of looks shorter as well. So I was like, who's this midfield bloke? It was Jesse Hogan. So it's not necessary that he needs to be that powerhouse forward, because they've added Rory Lobb as well, and they still have Matt Tamina, who they really like, whether everyone likes him or not. They really like him. So I don't know if he has to be the great white hope in terms of the forwards, but he has to play footy, and he has to stay clean off the field, and he has to do all of the things that Fremantle need him to do when he's on a big pay packet. So I don't think he's the poison, but I'm definitely not ready to anoint him a prince.
Well, yeah.
At what stage do you have to, say you're on the preseason and you're on the gas pretty big, like over the off season, you come back and you start training and getting towards games, at what point do you have to really, like, taper it back off field?
Oh, no, I think it's funny, pre-Christmas when you're doing your fitness stuff, usually you're pretty quiet. Then when you fall into practice games and intra-clubs and stuff like that, I think that's where you can open up the gates a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then when you're a week out or whatever, you have the week off, I think you sort of tighten it up. But I think Jesse Hogan needs to play forward. I think he's a superstar in the competition.
Mm.
I think he needs to get out of the way Rory Lobb, get out of the way Matt Tabanar.
Yep.
Matt Tabanar, you can be the backup ruckman or Rory, whatever it is. I'm going to kick 60 goals this year for Fremantle. I think he could be the prince.
I don't mind him using that. Remember, Jonathan Brown and Pav did it sort of once or twice a quarter. They'd come into the middle just for an impact.
Hit and
then,
body and
but
move
then
on.
Get back.
Yeah, Pav does it at Hawthorn every now and then.
Yeah, just as a once or twice a quarter. It doesn't have to be a lot.
He does. Just having him up the field, though, is going to make guys, if Matt Tabanar stays deep and Jesse Hogan goes up the field, it's going to, from what we saw the other week, it's going to make Matt Tabanar look like $1 million.
Well, as a defender, though.
Geelong?
Who we got now? Geelong.
Geelong. Okay, Geelong. Tell me this without looking at any program that you've got. Who is Geelong's best ruckman?
Reece Stanley.
Yeah, I'd say Reece Stanley.
Yeah, and I love the way you answered that. Is it Reece Stanley? It probably is Reece Stanley. Here's a list. I'll just run through this quickly. They got Zach Smith, who's now 29, only played 110 games. And we're pretty sure we don't rate Zach Smith at this point. Yep. Ryan Abbott, who's 28, played 4 games last year, but he's ahead of Zach Smith. He was included for the final. Darcy Fort's a mature age recruit. He's 26, a lot of VFL and Sandful. Ben Jarvis, who's a draftee, is more of a forward. Stanley, who's played 115 games, 15 last year, and Blake Schlengschnog, who's a Category B rookie. I don't know where he came from, old Schlengschnog.
Okay, what's his actual name?
That's it. That's their entire ruck stock. Has their lack of recruitment of a high-level ruckman cost this particular group a chance at a flag with that midfield that they've got?
Well, I know at some stage last year they were sniffing around Scott Lysett's availability, and yep, you can see why when you rattle off those names. But also you get a little bit critical too of the Dangerfield, Ablett, Selwood, Mitch Duncan, when they're not dominating the midfield. And I think, looking from externally, they do things wrong as players. They're the superstars. There's not a lot of, I suppose,
grunt blokes.
Yeah, the defensive tacklers and that sort of stuff. But, I mean, they haven't really got the head start in the ruckman in that, you know, naming those players. They're doing a lot of their own work, aren't they?
And we keep hearing that this new rule with the 6 and 6 and 6
ruckman's going to be important.
It's going to be important for that first tap down to those speedy midfielders. So you kind of need a great tap ruckman. Now, we might see a pretty big impact on Geelong if they had someone who could get them first use.
But it's going to be, though, yeah, like you said, it's going to be having to find grunt people in the middle, because even the guys they brought in, Menegola and that, like, he's not a grunt. He's like he's got a bit of class too.
So their midfield,
Scotty Selwood is a guy.
Need him. So their midfield doesn't suit their ruck, basically, because if they had a ruckman that was more flairish and more hands on first,
imagine
they could have this ruck. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But really, they need a grunt midfield to go with the grunt ruckman.
Luke.
There you go. Gold Coast. So this is Peter Wright's year. The big 2 metre Peter.
2 metre Peter.
The forward.
Well, there's no one else left to play.
So the 50 finally opens up for him. Because Tom
Lynch, really open, though.
It's very open. There were a few times, like, Tom Lynch has been playing a little bit busted for a while now.
Yes.
So, you know, they were putting him in there trying to make him create magic, and he was only playing at half strength. So, and you, if you're Peter Wright and Tom Lynch is on the field, you're not getting a look in.
No.
So he did pretty well in the practice match the other day. He's a big boy, and he's taken some good grabs. I think the year before last, he played 22 games and kicked 31 goals. Like, he can kick them when he wants to, and he's very hard to outmark. So,
well, he's an elite runner too. He goes really, really well in their time trials. I remember Matt Rosa when he first moved up there. He was the spruik player. 2 metre Peter, he's going to be the next superstar of the competition. 2 metre Peter, and then he spent a fair bit of time in the NEAFL last year.
Yeah, I think he only played 7 games last year, and that's
Couldn't get like, the team. It surprised you when Gold Coast are getting pummeled. And you've got a guy who they think has got a fair bit of talent. So, not particularly sure what's going on there. He might be one of those players that's a bit, is he forward, is he ruck, or is he ruck, is he forward?
Yeah, this might be the case. You just put him forward and you'll be like, mate, don't worry about it. You don't even have to go in the ruck ever.
He has to make something of this year, though, because the guys coming through are going to be there. Ben King's going to be there.
Yeah, I think Ben King will end up being a backman, though.
Probably. But Lukosius is there as well. I mean, Sam Day's still there. And then
Sam Day.
Yeah.
Forget about Sam
so
Day.
So there are guys coming through again. So if he doesn't really put a stamp on that spot and it goes into year six and we're still going, oh, maybe he's going to be something.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you've got to be the something.
Yeah.
This is his opportunity.
And Big Witsy, obviously captain of
very
Gold Coast.
Unusual captain.
Yeah. Tallest ever captain I saw on Sir Swamp Thing's Twitter page yesterday. Tallest ever.
He's not going to be rucking too often, is he, when the captain's... Unfortunately for him, the captain generally plays, and he's probably going to play in the ruck. So he really needs to find that forward role and do well at it.
And I think that's where he was drafted, to be honest, as well. GWS.
7 A-graders at GWS, more than any other team in the competition. I think they'll win the flag.
Rattle off the A-graders.
Josh Kelly, Toby Green, Coniglio, Whitfield.
Did Taylor just lift?
Jared Cameron, Callan Ward, and Phil Davis.
All A-graders, correct.
I don't think any other team's got as many A-graders as that. And I went through their depth. They've got Taranto and Hopper, who are both very, very high draft picks.
Hold on. Taranto. Nick's just going into a cold sweat.
If Taranto's not an A-grader, he's an A-.
Oh, mate, no way. He could possibly be at some stage, but he's nowhere near it now.
I think he's very, very good. When there was space opened up for him and he was allowed to play those minutes, he dominated.
When
he went forward, he dominated. I think he's right on the cusp. Like, I think if round one, people will be stunned by what he brings out. That round one's to be all and end all.
No, I agree. I agree he could be an A-grader. I don't think he's at the moment. But also when
A-,
you look at...
then.
I'll give you an A-, but they all do back quite deep. GWS in terms of their B graders with Shaw, Haynes, Delidio, Hayes, Delidio. Johnny Patton's back in July.
Are you worried that they had to go back to Mummy?
That's a concern,
it's a
yes.
Big red flag.
It is.
I mean, not just because of the off-field stuff, but just because the bloke's been retired a year. He retired for a reason. Yeah. He was banged up. Well, it's a bit of a concern that they have to turn to him.
Yeah, no, I think they've underperformed the last couple of years. They did lose that prelim to the Bulldogs, or that final, whatever it was.
Pretty much the best final of the modern era.
The great final. But losing Dylan Scheel, is Dylan Scheel in front of Ward, Coniglio, Kelly?
I wasn't too concerned about losing a Dylan Scheel because there's guys like Taranto who will just fill his boots.
And Scully didn't play last year.
Yeah.
So, and Kelly's the closest Dylan Scheel replica you're going to get. You don't need two of them in the same team, just about.
And Kelly's a level above.
I would take Kelly over Scheel.
By a long way.
Yeah.
By a long, long way. So I think, and I had a little interest on him yesterday, it's $17. So there you go.
They're paying $17.
They're paying $17 to win the flag. So I've had
and they've now got the underdog status somehow. Yes, like after years of being the favourite.
Leo can't really know a Ferrari. They're busted up Datsun.
Are we on Hawthorn?
I think we're on Hawthorn.
I've been looking forward to this one. You can help me with this, X. Is there such a thing in the AFL as the great bloke rule that keeps you on a list for way longer than you should? Because my example here is Ryan Schoenmakers, who in 10 seasons has played 121 games. And I give you a couple of other examples. Jordan Bannister played 9 seasons for 67 games. 4 years he's been an umpire and he's already had 97 games. And Fraser McInnes is now entering his 9th season on the Eagles list for 14 games, which I think might be the record. Is there such a thing as you're on the list because you're a good bloke and we'll just keep you here?
Well, I absolutely think there is, and I think there should be too. So there's 44 or 42 spots on the list, however many spots there are.
Yep.
22 play.
Yep.
If you've got 15 injuries, your team's cooked anyway. So you know, if you've got that many injuries, you've still got at least 7 spots that need to be filled. You may as well fill them by, say, Fraser McInnes, for example, a top fella.
Yep.
Treats the rookies and Josh Kennedy, Nick Nat equally.
Solid citizen.
They love him. And if, you know, shit does hit the fan, he can come in and play a role, you know, every now and then. He's not going to win you a game or anything, but he can pitch it in the ruck. And he's going to lead by example at the Waffle this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a significant role amongst the West Coast.
Some suggestion could be the captain.
Some suggestion he could possibly be the captain of that club. But so I think there definitely is a spot for good fellows on the list. And I think openly they should just say, like,
he's staying around.
We need you on the list.
So it's like a category B. It's like a category G for good guy.
You're a good guy.
Adrian Barrich, the G-man of the team. You'd just be added to the list as the good bloke.
Well, you do need someone to organise the social events. they are bloody important for a footy club. You need someone who can hold a meeting, who's respected, who can go to any player on the list.
Before we get cut off, is Ryan Schoenmakers a good bloke?
Yes, I haven't known Shoey for 5 or 6 years, but he was a good fellow when he was younger.
Back then, he was good.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
We'll go early.
Hey, we got.
Hey. Sorry, we had like 10 seconds left. Who's up next? Well, is that me? Melbourne. So the Bruce Gorn combo won't work.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. I don't understand it from Bruce's perspective, why he wanted to go there in the first. He sat behind Goldstein, who's nearly cooked, right?
Yep.
Goldie maybe has a year or maximum 2 years.
And you go, I'll go to the place that has literally the best ruckman we've seen in, you know, 10 years.
It made absolutely no sense for him, and I don't understand it for Melbourne either. Explain it to me.
We just spoke about a club 70 kilometres up the road where he would play 22 games all year long, and he's hitting it to Dangerfield and Salwood and those guys. I don't get it. And Maxi Gorn, I think, hands down, with Brody Grundy holding his hand a little bit. They're the two best ruckmen by a long, long way. Unless they know something about Max Gorn's body, that he's got a foot problem or a knee problem. Like, I just don't get the investment in
Bruce,
who hasn't got the forward string to his bow. He's a big bash, crash, someone that needs to play 80% of the game in the ruck and hit bodies and knock midfielders over. He hasn't got... you can go forward and chop out, and then Nathan Vardy at West Coast. That's not him.
No.
He needs to be doing the grunt work in the middle.
He's a beast.
So maybe Max Gorn might be playing more forward.
Well, that's what they came out and said. They said that Bruce will play a bit more ruck time and will send Gorn forward. But my question to that is why?
If you're a coach of an opposing club and Max Gorn was playing forward, you'd be licking your lips.
And also, their forward line looks best when it's Tom McDonald, and we saw a bit of Wiedemann in the finals, and they've got those small forwards around them, which they seem to keep finding them. Mm. Why make it taller? Nah. Like, it makes no sense.
I still wonder about why they would, in any realm, like, possibly think about getting rid of Hogan. Now, like, this looks like retrofitting to fit a forward line that's now missing one of your better players.
Move.
Like, what have you done?
And back on Geelong, why the hell didn't they just throw an offer to Bruce? Like, yeah, that fixes and it's great for him. Like, it makes no sense.
Well, they're sort of paying cents in the dollar for a lot of guys, aren't they? They're grunt players. They seem to pay real big bucks for the good guys.
Well, that's the salary cap issues, isn't it? Yeah, you overpay the big guns. You've got that many big guns, you have to save somewhere.
So does he play?
Bruce, I think, early. Yeah.
Jesus.
Who's next?
North Melbourne? Ben Brown. A superstar of the competition or a bit of a one-hit wonder? I think a very underrated. And if he was playing at Collingwood, he would be arguably the biggest player in the game.
Well, is he better? No, well, okay, let's
with
say this.
With his hair and the long run.
Oh, yeah.
Who would you rather have, him or Mason Cox?
Oh, him. Ben Brown buys a long way.
Exactly, but Mason Cox has probably a higher profile because of Collingwood, the American thing, all of that.
You could battle 20 forwards that have a higher profile than Ben Brown.
Yeah. Mm. Look, I think he's a really good player on a very average, low-profile team. So I think we had this argument a couple of weeks ago. Who is North Melbourne's best player? It's probably Ben Brown.
Yeah, Sean Higgins would be close. But, I mean, Ben Brown, the opportunities he gets, and literally, at times, it is just, can you just get out of the way and just kick it to Ben Brown and see what happens?
Because Brown's paddock.
There's not a lot of formula to what goes on, but you just feel when Ben Brown, for mine, is around the football, he just is a star and nothing seems to be going too quick. He's just in slow motion, takes the mark, and then would take 35 steps back and really misses a goal. He doesn't miss.
And you were talking about Joe Danaher before. Danaher's clearly more talented, but Ben does the things that Danaher doesn't do, which is finish accurately, do the little things well. Yeah. Whereas Joe's basically gotten by on natural ability and talent and his physical ridiculous gifts of wingspan and such on.
Brown makes it look really easy, doesn't he? He generally looks like a straight line player. Like, his leading patterns don't look too complicated. Yeah. Everyone knows where he's going to be and he just executes when he does it.
And he was one of those big guys that they did try, in the ruck, swapping here and there. I think I like the way that he does occasionally pop up in there, but he's no longer a backup ruckman. He is your key forward. And occasionally, if he's having a quiet day or there's a big breeze or something down in Tasmania, give him a go in the ruck and we can play a spare behind the ball or whatever, not so much with the new rules. But I think he is extremely talented. I love watching the no-fuss Ben Brown.
It makes you wonder why people waited so long to pick him up too. Was he playing 3-4 years in the state leagues before he got a gig?
Yeah, no, fantastic.
Here we go, Ryan.
Port Adelaide's recruitment. I'll just rattle off a few quick names. Scotty Lysett, Trent McKenzie, a kind of washed up Tommy Rockliffe. I kind of never was Jack Watts.
Jack Watts, big
Sam Mays, who's come in and out of Brisbane's team, and Ryan Burton, who's there by default. Has their recruiting put them in a position where they're the new North Melbourne, a team that can only really finish somewhere between 6 and 10? They're never going to be bad enough to get the high picks from here on. They're never probably going to have a flag because they don't seem to have that element that they're missing. Their best player is probably Ollie Wines. It drops off a cliff from there because Robbie Gray's getting older. Are they just going to be the new North?
Yeah, I think this year might help them with the draftees they brought in this year. Like, they've got a little three, like, really talented kids there to roll through. But I take what you're saying, and I probably think the same thing. Like, I don't reckon they'd win a flag in the next 10 years, if you had to ask me.
No. And I was super high on Port Adelaide last year. I just thought adding, and you say you're beating up Rockcliffe, but last year I thought, if he goes back to where he was having mid-30s at Brisbane and dominating, Jack Watts, I thought, second chance, his number one draft pick, bit of space, they play fast football, this might suit him. Didn't work out. So I agree. I think they're at the middle of the road now where it's going to be very hard with the contracts and stuff to bottom out and to get those high draft picks. But the players they're paying a lot of money to, your Bokes, your Robbie Grays, your Rockcliffe's wouldn't be cheap, your Jack Watts wouldn't have been cheap.
Yep.
They're around now for another couple of years.
Yeah, and they still got Paddy Ryder, who's probably
Paddy
on
Ryder,
decent
yeah. time.
And now they've got that weird Lysett Ryder, Ruck. I just think that they've put themselves in a position where unless everything's not just glass half full, they need the glass to be actually full for them to have any sniff of having a chance.
Scott Lysett, they've paid big bucks for.
Yeah.
Another one, if Patrick Ryder's sitting full forward, as an opposing coach, you're licking your lips.
Yep.
Paddy Ryder in the ruck, it's new rules again, jumping high, dangerous, dangerous player. If he's have to play full forward, you're licking your lips as a coach.
There's a little bit to be worried about at Port. I like all reports are that Sam Powell-Pepper's going to go up, but what else are you excited about?
Yeah.
Richmond, so the 666 rule is going to hurt them more than any other side. Some champion data stats were in the prospectus, later reported by AFL.com.au as well. They're the least of all the teams they lined up in 666, the least last season. It was only 3.4% of the time at centre bounces. So they either always went with either one or two off the back. Because they played undersized ruckmen like Sean Grigg, and their guys in the middle, they they were happy to lose the clearances because they knew they'd get it back, and that's how they became the Richmond that they were, just like forcing sides to turn the ball over at some point. But now they won't be able to do it. So if they lose that ruck battle, that's a pretty tough ask.
So they've got Nankervis, obviously.
They've got Nankervis.
Well, Tom Lynch...
He'd probably chop out, I suppose. One of them's going to have to, aren't
so
they?
So at least you're not playing. Sean Grigg would be my height. Grigg is 6'1", 6'2".
So
at least, premiership. But at least now you've got 6'6" or 6'7", which is competitive.
First great stat. You have to acknowledge the 3-point, whatever it was. That was a fantastic stat. Well done.
Thanks, Wompy.
Yeah. I reckon Richmond this year is a pure case of, it's like a chemistry test. Mm. You take a really talented team who, we forget last year, were freaking dominant until they lost to Collingwood. We just assumed they were going to win the flag.
Yep.
And you're adding in an extremely talented, ball-dominant big forward to a forward line that has worked on chemistry alone. Like, you look at Richmond's forward line when they won their flag, it shouldn't have beaten Adelaide's forward line that day or their back line, but it did. So I just can't wait to see how chopping in a talented player, and it brings me back to basketball fans remember the Lakers when they added Dwight Howard and Steve Nash to Kobe and Gasol, and it was just a freaking disaster. Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be that bad, but just because you have talent and you load up heaps of talent, it doesn't mean it's going to work. Mm. Footy's a chemistry game.
The only thing with Tom Lynch is he's had 78 years. Was he a free agent?
Or? Yeah, he was a free
agent. So 8 years of being absolutely spanked and small crowds at Gold Coast. For him to lob at Richmond playing in front of 80,000, he would be the most hungriest bugger on that team. Good recipe.
What's next, Dex?
St Kilda. Has Grant Thomas and Nick Riewoldt's comments hurt the St Kilda brand?
Well, I don't know they had much of a brand at the moment, did
That's
they?
What I was going to say. I don't know if they got a brand.
No, but so Nick Riewoldt's comments about it was a free-for-all. It's a free-for-all for players and that sort of stuff. He was captain of that football club for a long period of time.
Yep.
Grant Thomas has come out 15 years later or
so
10 years later.
Was on pingers.
Everyone was on it again. Like, for mine, I don't understand the comments. I agree with Nick in a sense that, you know, the drug code needs a bit of a twist and a turn or whatever because there are people loopholing it. But I just think that the media that St Kilda need at the moment... Mm. Is probably positive stuff.
Yeah.
Poor old Jack Stevens is having a spell at the moment. But all I can remember from St Kilda this off-season are the comments that Grant Thomas and Nick Riewoldt have made.
Well, we're not insinuating that because Jack Stevens now had is gone for mental health reasons.
Oh, no, of course not.
No.
But the problem is when that comes up straight after those other comments, then that's what people are going to do. They're going to make links to these things, and it's incorrect. Mm. Or it may be incorrect. But what St Kilda need to do is fix everything about this club. Every single thing about this club. If you had to put your life on betting, if I was going to tell you in 3 years one of these AFL clubs will not exist and I removed Gold Coast from the equation, would St Kilda be the next one? I mean, they don't seem like they've got a ton of cash. They don't really have any on-field hope at the moment outside Jade Gresham, my man.
Oh, look, the AFL wouldn't, I don't think they'll remove.
No, they wouldn't, but if it was had
if,
to.
Yeah, if one had to be eliminated, if they had to remove one from
the
competition.
It'd be between them and the Dogs, probably, wouldn't it?
Well, the Doggies won a flag 2 years ago.
Yeah,
they still got no cash, do they?
Yeah, but I'd take a team that's won a flag over a team that hasn't.
Yeah, I just think they're damaged in every single way.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as I was saying, like, you know, as we spoke about Jack Stevens, the only bit of news out of St Kilda is Jack Stevens is on leave. And that's the only thing, the only good news that they're... Their best player, their high draft picks in rehab.
Someone mentioned to me the other day, the King brothers' parents. Oh, this is pretty good. I've got to go.
Do it.
They went in thinking, we'd love both our kids at St Kilda. Apparently, after a very short period of time, they're already thinking, geez, maybe Gold Coast is a better bet. I'm serious. Someone who knows has told me that.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. Who we got up next?
Sydney Swans? Is that me?
We've lost it.
Nah, Sydney Swans. Alphabetical order.
Here we go.
Yeah? Okay. If you had to bet your life, and I've done this twice in a row now, but that wasn't meant to before, on one of these players to win a Brownlow, who do you pick? Isaac Heaney, Callum Mills?
Heaney.
I think Mills missing a large portion of the season last year has probably hurt my thoughts on him.
Yep.
Heaney, I think, could be the next Dustin Martin, sort of forward, midfield, dominant, strong, reads it well.
Well, that's you think about Dusty, Danger, Fife. Like, the recent trend in Brownlow is midfield and forward.
Yeah.
And Heaney's got that, whereas we don't know if Mills has or not.
He's got the hair, he's got the game, he's got the high-flying antics, but he's hard as a rock
smooth,
as well.
Smooth, hard.
Yeah.
Like,
the issue with him, you kind of need to be an accumulator too now, don't you? You can't just be, like, a souped-up version of Chad Wingard. You need to have an average of about 26, 27 disposals, plus you're kicking two goals. If he can have that season where he puts all of it together and he's still hard and he's flying, geez, he could win it quite easily, couldn't he?
And for some reason, too, I always look more fondly upon people that look like good blokes. Yeah. He just looks like a knock-around bloke who would love surfing. Yep. Apparently he didn't play a lot of footy, didn't watch a lot of footy as a kid.
Nah.
Yeah, he just turned up and he's just bloody good at it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I just always fall to, in their corner every single time.
Just went down to have a kick and turned out to be better than everyone else there.
You could add him under the G-man rule.
Yes.
Now, Callum Mills is the opposite, isn't he? He's the quiet... Oh, God, wow, Callum Mills has got 35 disposals. I haven't noticed him once. He's just going to accumulate. He, good user of the footy. So Heaney's the obvious choice.
Mm.
But in those two guys, Sydney have two genuine future complete... two of those two guys could be in the top 10 players in the comp in 5 years.
And both through the academy as well.
Yeah.
Another little leg up for the Sydney Swans. They remove the million and they give them two Brownlow medalists potentially.
They always talk about how that academy is saving kids from rugby league as well. Yeah. I've been told by someone very close to Isaac Heaney that he didn't really care about playing rugby league. He loved footy since he was a tiny little kid.
Callum Mills doesn't look like a rugby league guy.
No, he's not really going to fit in the front row, tackle. Is he?
I do think Mills, though, I'd love to see him in the midfield.
Stuff that up. Is it me? West Coast? Is that where we're up to?
West Coast Eagles.
Yep. West Coast Eagles. This is the year that Luke Shuey finally gets an All-Australian nod. Hasn't had one.
We've got to put yourself on the map, don't you? Typically, I always reckon to get All-Australian, you have to have an All-Australian year,
good season,
miss out, then you get the acknowledgement.
Yeah, so he's had those.
He has.
Where he's made the squad.
But now he's got the norm.
Yeah.
Now he's officially an elite
tell you
midfielder.
About it too.
So I reckon you're right. I think if he puts together a season like he always puts together, this year he'll be in.
The only slight thing about Luke Shuey is his speed, and he's so good around football, around the football with Nick Nat, the connection there. Nick Nat's obviously not playing, but Luke Shuey's always the one tagged.
Yep. Yeah.
Always the one tag. Sometimes Gaffey runs wild. Elliot Yeo, who I think we spoke about earlier in the week.
Well, will they start looking at taking him a little bit more?
I don't know if he can.
Yeah, I just think that poor old Luke Shuey, even though Elliot Yeo I think will be the dominant midfielder, I think in the grand final they bloody went to him, then came off him, and then locked onto Yoey, and Shuey couldn't believe his luck.
Yep.
Because for 90% of his career, he walks to the first set of bounds and in comes a tag and he thinks, this again.
Well, he's the taggable guy. He's a line breaker.
Yeah.
He's got that burst of speed. And we've heard about that ruck rule. If Nick Nat was playing,
she
would be kicking three goals a game just straight out of that middle tap. And we've seen it so many times in his career. But I think he belongs in the discussion of the top 20 to 30 midfielders in the AFL, but he never gets included.
Well, if he finishes his career and he's never had an All-Australian selection, like that'll be a bit of a blight.
He's been in the squad. He's definitely been in the squad.
Yeah, he's been in the squad two or three times.
Maybe 2015 he might have been in the squad and I felt he should have been selected, or 2016. Mm. Around that mark, he was playing unbelievable football. But I think the Norm Smith medal puts you back right in the spotlight. Yeah. And and West Coast will be the team of the year this year. They've won the flag, so they're at the front of everyone's mind. They'll be dissecting
Friday night,
Thursday nights, spotlight, you're right.
Yeah, they'll be dissecting every single match too.
I think this is the lucky last, mate. Who we got?
Western Bulldogs. Tom Boyd, still injured. Read an article saying months and months from potentially playing again. Good investment, bad investment. A lot of money, won a premiership.
Good investment, take it. You put that money. If someone said, here's $5 million, set fire to it and your team will win a flag.
I'd set fire to a human. I'd be like, which five are you going to throw in the pit? I'd be like, you, and you, in.
Get in the bin.
That simple fact makes it a good investment.
Yeah.
Mm. But in every other aspect, it's a terrible one.
But that's the weighting that a premiership has in the competition. And they basically burnt millions of dollars, but they won a flag.
Yeah.
Like he won't play many more games beyond that.
Well, he's injured. He's very, very
all the time.
There's some suggestion out there he may never play again. He's got chronic back issues. He's obviously...
Well, that's what I think. If he comes back, he's not going to play 20 games a season ever again, I wouldn't think at this point.
What it does do is it kind of really just ruins them for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Like, you don't have that giant amount of cash. He's taking a really key position in the team. Mm. Ideally, I mean, he's physically, he's your ideal ruck forward now for this modern game.
Yeah. But I do think they've invested $1 million on what they thought was going to be a match winner, which he was in that grand final.
Yep.
I still reckon he's a full forward, centre half forward. I just don't like seeing him in the ruck. I think they're showing a sign of defeat by moving him there. I just love seeing him. I'm going to be a centre half forward. I'm going to try and kick 50 goals a year. And we just spoke, he might not play much football again, unfortunately, with his injuries. Mm. But I remember watching him play a TAC Cup game under 18s. He kicked 3 goals in 5 minutes. And I was just like, this kid is not Buddy Franklin because they're different type of players, but He had a bit of Wayne Carey about him. He was hitting packs, and obviously number one draft pick, he showed plenty.
He looks like he's built in a lab for football.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yeah, he's stunning. But unfortunately, I think Tom Boyd, we might not see a lot of him.
Which is unfortunate. But
I'd take the investment.
They'd still do it. They'd still do the deal every day of the week again. And that's it, boys.
Jeez, that was intense. The two-minute warning, Hardball gets AFL feeds. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, the Hardball gets AFL show. hit up iTunes, subscribe, leave us a review. Unsubscribe, then subscribe again.
Keep doing that.
Chuck another review on there.
And then after that, go and check out the Mazda BT50 and have a look
at
Boss Adventure Pack.
Take a look at it. It's a good car. All right. Thanks very much, guys. And we'll catch you next. Well, we got a couple more footy rhinos coming up this week.
Yeah, so a couple more fantasy pods of best 22 predictions. And then next Wednesday, we're back with a two-minute warning. And in between that, you two guys talking all of the important issues.
Have a bit of a chat on the Monday too. So we'll catch you then.